Venerable religious and dear parishioners, and especially dads, we celebrate Father's Day today. And though not a liturgical observance, still a very necessary observance to have. It's not like we just love our dads on Father's Day. We love them throughout the year, but it's important to set that one day aside, as we do also for mothers, and honor that very special role and duty that God has bestowed upon them. It occurred to me that fatherhood is an eternal reality. What that means is that it has always been in existence. It has always been in operation. There was never a time where there was not fatherhood. And by this, of course, I mean the Holy Trinity. We were all taught from our earliest years the doctrine of the Trinity, how there are three persons but only one God. And as time went on, we learned more about the Holy Trinity. Of course, we'll never learn enough about it to fully understand it. But we grow in our awareness, and we learned that the Father eternally begets the Son. He didn't start doing that. He'll never end doing it. He always was doing it. He always is doing it. He always will be doing it in the eternal now that is God, that God exists in, so to speak. So that makes fatherhood very, very special. It has eternally existed. And even now, the Father is begetting the Son. Again, we can't fully understand this. We think of it, you know, we think of fatherhood and, you know, and sonship as a one-time, or fatherhood and childhood as a one-time event. The child is born. No, with God, in God, this goes on all the time. We also learned as time went on that the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son. We learned that all three of these persons are equal to one another. They mysteriously indwell one another. That's what is meant by the term parakoresis. It's a Greek word that explains at least somewhat how they live within each other, but they have that distinct relationship, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost proceeding from the Father and the Son. Motherhood, as special as it is, did not exist eternally. It existed in God's mind as something that he would create in time. And this doesn't take anything away from the most wonderful dignity and role of mothers. But again, fatherhood, insofar as it exists in God, it always was and always will be. As we know also from our catechism, that God created this universe in which we live, and time began. And here's one of the most amazing things, that God decided to adopt the creatures that he created. I'm thinking of the angels and also human beings. How did he adopt them? By giving them his very own life of sanctifying grace. That amazing thought we can't reflect on enough. That God so loved the angels that he bestowed on them his own life. And the bad angels who rebelled against God, they renounced that life. They renounced that relationship. That tragedy doesn't have enough words to describe how terrible it is. To renounce one's relationship adoptive relationship with God. But that's what all the bad angels did when they rebelled. We do not want to do it God's way. We do not want you as our Father. We want to do our own will. We don't want to do your will. And for all eternity, all those demons persist in their rejection of God. God created the human race, and he bestowed his very own life on Adam and Eve. And he meant this to be transmitted by generation throughout all of the people that would come. But that is the tragedy that happened, that Adam and Eve, like the demons, renounced their relationship with the Father. It wasn't just a matter of eating a forbidden fruit. No, it was a full-blown, full, far-reaching, we don't want you. We do not want to have this relationship with you. You who are our Father. That's why it was so bad. And instead of inheriting sanctifying grace along with the other special gifts, all the children of Adam and Eve would come with this sin on their souls. Fortunately, it's washed away by baptism. It restores that relationship. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful beyond telling. That's what the life of sanctifying grace is. It, when we have it in our souls, we have our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And we must do whatever it takes to never lose this state of sanctifying grace. We lost some of the other gifts that Adam and Eve had perfectly, on a higher level, the preternatural gifts like immortality and perfect control of the body, etc. We lost that, and that wasn't meant to come back, but at least we got back our relationship with God, our Father in heaven. When we think of how easy, how wonderful Adam and Eve had it there in the Garden of Eden, they just, you know, they had to tend the garden, which many people would say, well, that's wonderful. I love the garden. It's just one tree. They had to, you know, obey God and not eat of it. They had these wonderful gifts, and they lost so much. We're reminded of the story of the prodigal son, whose father was very wealthy, and the prodigal son was going to inherit what his father would pass on to him when he died. He had it made, and yet he renounced it because he wanted to have his fortune now. He went and, as we would say, he blew it all. And he found himself reduced to such a terrible state that as he's watching pigs in order to support himself, he's not even allowed to have the husks of corn that the pigs can eat. So how terrible it is to lose one's relationship with God as the Heavenly Father by losing sanctifying grace. So as we go through our lives, our challenge is to maintain that relationship and to obey our Heavenly Father, not to turn our backs on our Heavenly Father, who wants so much good for us, but we have to be obedient to him. When we think of fatherhood, we think of an unchanging concept. No matter how long the human race were to exist, even if it were to exist millions and millions of more years, fatherhood still wouldn't change. Because human nature doesn't change. the role, the function, the nature of fatherhood would continue on because the nature, the function of human nature never changes either. So what does a father do in this unchanging concept? We know that he begets his children. And that's an absolute fact. It happens. But there's other functions that the father must do. And I see so many wonderful Catholic fathers striving to do this in their daily lives, fulfilling their role. They provide for and nourish their children, and of course, the entire family, his wife, his children. And he honors his wife as helpmate, truly honors her and respects and loves her. A father guides and disciplines his children. He has to teach. He has to take many teachable moments, as we say, with his children and instruct them. That was the right reaction. That was the wrong reaction. But here's how we do it. And he has to discipline. It's out of love. Why? Because his children have a fallen human nature. He himself has a fallen human nature. But he has to discipline. A child that grows up undisciplined grows up with terrible problems in life. The child wants things that he or she should not have. And God help the child that's spoiled and just given whatever he or she wants and not taught how to be that hardworking, obedient, productive member of the citizenry. And the father and the mother are raising their child ultimately to be citizens of heaven. A father provides spiritual leadership. There's something special about that when the head of the family says, it's time to pray, it's time to do this. And he leads by example and by exhortation. The father also prays for and intercedes for his children. He has to be on his knees a lot, not just for his own needs, but for his family's needs, spiritual and temporal. And one other thing, and this is a beautiful thing that I'm not sure fathers realize, is the power they have to bless their children. And my own father, what a wonderful man he was. He made it a point after night prayers that we prayed as whenever we did that as a family, he'd give us a good night blessing, make the sign of the cross over us. And he was exercising his fatherhood by calling down God's blessing. And we read about how in the Old Testament, the patriarchs exercised this blessing. And it seemed to be more pronounced, more obvious in the Old Testament. But read the blessings that a father would invoke upon his children. Abraham did it. Isaac did it. Jacob did it. But you fathers, mothers too, I believe there's a blessing that a mothers can give upon their children. Might want to just trace a cross up upon their forehead. It's a power, it's a role that you have. So we hold to this, to fatherhood, we hold to it as one of the meanings that can never change. And this world is getting crazy, as we know. People are attempting to rename things that cannot change. A man is a man. A woman is a woman. A father is a father, a mother is a mother. You cannot change those realities. And we have to stick to the constant meaning that these terms have had. It's the power of language. It's been said, whoever captures that ability to change word meanings exerts a tremendous power over others. And so we hold to these unchanging realities. again, no matter how crazy or insane things can get, people wanted to it's amazing. It's tragic. But don't let the power, them exercise any power of language over you by trying to get you to change the understanding of something that cannot be changed. Today is also, believe it or not, a theme for spiritual fathers in today's gospel. It's about the very unsuccessful night of fishing that St. Peter and some of the other apostles had. And St. Peter, we know, is married, but he was called on this day to follow Christ. Some of the apostles were married. They left behind wife, children, property, their own liberty. They followed Christ completely. And this is actually something that every religious vocation does. And they get the hundredfold. It's not in terms of material prosperity or success. No, that's not why we become religious. But we receive a hundredfold of spiritual blessings for saying yes to the Lord. And today is the day. It's so ironic, isn't it, when Jesus miraculously fills up the boats to the point where they're almost sinking, and St. Peter, you know, with the other apostles are dragging, they're getting these boats to land before they sink. And St. Peter goes up to Jesus, he kneels in front of him and says, "Lord, would you please leave me?" Why would St. Peter say a thing like that? Because he realized at that moment that he owed everything to Jesus, and he wasn't quite ready to say yes to that. But then a few moments later, he did. He left everything and followed Christ. And this is for, of course, religious sisters. We're so grateful for all the vocations that we have in our CMRI congregation, these religious that will be advancing in their steps this next Sunday. We're grateful for the religious brothers. There's fewer of them. We need more prayers. And we also need more prayers. Well, praying for all the religious, we need prayers for spiritual fathers, because they are called to be those spiritual fishermen, to go out and save as many souls as possible by doing spiritually, on a spiritual level, what fathers in the human sense do on the natural level, or they do it on a supernatural level. So I was happy to see that connection with spiritual fatherhood today in today's gospel. So let us thank God for this wonderful gift. We see it in God himself, but he has shared it for spiritual fathers, temporal fathers according to nature, spiritual and temporal, spiritual and physical. And let us pray for all fathers that they can keep striving to reach the full potential of that awesome role which they have been given. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.